There, do you have any idea what you're listening to?
London Philharmonic?
It's Venus.
Huh?
Venus.
Why not? We've bounced signals off the moon's surface. There's no reason that Venus shouldn't radiate impulses.
I don't mean the static. Can't you hear it, the other thing?
What other thing?
Listen to it, Paul. Listen to the voice.
Hello and welcome to Media Geek. This is your weekly look at the world of grassroots and independent media, as well as a critical examination of our media environment. My name is Paul Riesmandel. I'm your host. On today's program, why community radio is still important and the challenges that the new breed of stations face today. The Northwest Community Radio Summit wrapped up on September 17th. In Seattle, Washington. We'll be hearing from some audio from that keynote there. We'll hear from Karen Turing from Reclaim the Media talking about community radio in our times, and Lupito Flores from station KYRS in Spokane, Washington, talking about some of the threats to that station that can also threaten lots of other community stations. You will want to stay tuned. So the Northwest Community Radio Summit ended on Sunday, September 17th in Seattle, Washington. It was held that weekend, and some 150 energetic, dedicated, and creative community radio activists represented stations from Alaska, British Columbia, Washington, Idaho, and Oregon for a weekend of skill-sharing workshops, discussions of media policy, activism, community media's role in supporting grassroots hip-hop, and more. The weekend summit main purpose was the organizing of a regional community radio network, and attendees did an incredible amount of work towards that goal. And there are several different community radio conferences that go on these days. There is the National Federation of Community Broadcasters, which is really the oldest community radio organization in the United States, and it has a yearly meeting. As well, there's the Grassroots Radio Coalition, which is a less formal affair, but they hold a conference every year as well. The most recent one was in Madison, Wisconsin this past summer. There's also the World Community Radio Federation, AMARC, which meets, and I believe is meeting in, is meeting somewhere overseas this year as well. And this is an attempt here in the Northwest to bring people together in a regional sort of way. In a lot of ways, I think that makes sense because regional people often face similar issues, often within a state. You'll share certain regulatory issues. And just when you're nearby geographically, it's easier to come to each other's aid. Often your socioeconomics issues, environmental issues, and things like that are very similar as well. It's the kind of thing that might be very good to happen in places like the Midwest, where Community Radio WEFT, home of Media Geek, is, or in the Northeast. There is a regional independent media conference in the Northeast, which was held earlier this year. Bringing people together, as well as the ability to bring them together nationally, bring them together maybe on the continent, as Grassroots Radio Conference often does, and internationally, as AMARC does. Well, we're going to listen to part three of the keynote from the Northwest Community Radio Summit. We're going to hear from Karen Turing, who's with the organization Reclaim the Media, which is based in Seattle and which organized this conference. Reclaim the Media came together in the fall of 2002, where they held the Reclaim the Media conference, which I attended, and which was on the Media Geek radio program, radio.mediageek.net. You go back to September 2002 archives, and you can listen to some of the programs produced from that. And that original conference was coincident with the National Association of Broadcasters Radio Conference, and the attendance of such FCC luminaries as Michael Powell brought about to bring attention to consolidation issues and to start thinking about ways to reclaim the media, as the name is, both through making your own media, through various types of political action, and activism. Well, it's good to see that Reclaim the Media is still here 4 years on and organizing conferences. And so Karen Turing is part of that organization. She directly addresses why community radio is important in these times. And then we'll hear from Lupito Flores from KYRS in Spokane, Washington. It's the low-power community radio station in Spokane, Washington, which is way on the other side, the eastern side of Washington State, talking about some of the threats to their station from commercial stations, and that could be threats to lots of other community stations out there.
You know how long it takes to organize a conference and to put it together, and what a chore that is. Well, Karen Turing, one of the members of Reclaim the Media, is not only the coordinator of the conference, but she's here tonight to talk to you about several media democracy issues that are pressing right now and where you can take action to help support free speech. So Karen has been involved in community media around the country, and we're real pleased to have her the last few years here in the Seattle area. So without further ado, Karen Turing.
Oh, si se puede, y'all, si se puede. I happen to have been one of the fortunate people who actually attended. Is there anybody here who attended the barn raising? It was off the chain. But the best part about the barn raising, and I don't know if any of you all will agree with me, was the food. Oh, those women cooked, and you know, they have, when you go to a barn raising, they have all of these volunteer assignments you're supposed to do, and you have to, you know, sort of pay to go, that you pay to work, which is all good, you know, and if you're assigned to the kitchen, you know, you go in there in the morning, go, I'm ready to work. And the little ladies go, oh, we got it, you know, and they just, the food was just so amazing. And I remember, you know, right after the little countdown and they flipped the switch on the channel, I had to leave. I had a rental car. It was due back in Seattle. And I remember, the thing I remember most was just driving out of town and hearing that radio station. I cried. I could not do anything else. It was just incredible. It was incredible. So I want to talk to you a little bit about the work of Reclaim the Media and the work we have ahead. You know, a free society is utterly dependent on free media. Our media systems allow us to receive and transmit the news of the neighborhood, the news of the world, to share our culture, and to debate ideas about politics and the directions of democracy. In fact, our media produces the air, the oxygen, that democracy needs to breathe. And media activist organizations like Reclaim the Media and San Francisco's Media Alliance, Youth Media Council, and Philly's Media Tank, Prometheus, which is also another media democracy organization in Philly, are working to make sure that our media air stays clean enough to support a healthy democracy. So this weekend, what we were doing is celebrating and sustaining community media. Like the wild ancient forests of the Pacific Northwest, community media is out there to make sure that we have a steady stream of fresh oxygen in our media air. So now breathe the oxygen. Unfortunately, there's some big polluters out there. Okay? And we don't want to talk about who they are, but I will call a couple. There are some big polluters out there, and we have to pay attention to them too. That's where our work is. And that's why Reclaim the Media and our friends and some of you guys out there keep a focus on media policy. The local, the international, and the national policies that govern the actions of corporate media giants. So right now, as most of you all are aware, we have a couple of pretty serious fights on our hands. The Senate is considering a massive telecom bill that could literally transform the nature of the internet as we know it. And they're scrambling. They're running around Capitol Hill trying to get those 60 votes that it'll take to bring this telecom bill to the floor. There are like 200 and some amendments hanging on this telecom bill. The FCC leadership is once again making an effort to water down media ownership rules. And we all know what happens when four or five people own all the media that we see, that we hear, that we read. And these caps are designed to protect media diversity. And making these rules even looser than they are already, we can look forward to even more toxic media pollution, like ABC's 911, what do you call it? Well, we call it a propagandamentary. Okay? And, you know, and those kind of stupid reality shows that serve to reinforce rather than critique racism, sexism, and fear in our society. And if they succeed, we can look forward to having even fewer voices, bringing us high-quality news, because we know that diverse local media ownership correlates directly with more locally produced news. You know, the news needs to be accountable to us. They need to know that if they get it wrong, they're going to come home and we're going to call them on it. How do we know that? And we know that now, you know, it has been proven because a study that just came out. How many people know about this study? All right, well, let me read it because I don't want to get it wrong. A study came out proving that correlation between ownership and locally produced media, the last time the FCC came out and did accountability issues and her had public hearings in 2004, basically said that, and this study really didn't come out, it was actually buried, that local accountability was correlating to good media. And the FCC chairman at the time, I won't say his name, Michael Powell, buried it. And Senator Barbara Boxer basically called them out on it and said that it was an outrage, you know, because basically sometimes there's just nothing that people won't do. And it's just hard to understand. But the good news is that in the end, they're all accountable to us. As we showed them the last time when they came to Seattle in 2003 and 2004, we can really make a difference. People came out at the Reclaim the Media convening conference. We had over 1,000 comments that went back to the FCC that basically said that we care about who owns our media and we care about media that is locally controlled. But let me get back to community media and shorten this little speech here just a little bit. And talk about something that's going on right now. You know, it's important for us to realize that after we have the barn raisings and we get the low-power FM stations on the air, we still need to support them with money and organizing. Now, this isn't church, so the baskets aren't going to come out. Spokane's Thin Air Radio, KYRS, is Washington State's poster child for diverse local low-power FM, but they've run into some problems recently, the same kinds of problems that can happen to any LPFM station that's out there right now. And I want to bring up Lupito Flores, who is the KYRS station manager, to talk a little bit about that. Lupito?
Thanks, Karen, and the baskets are going to be passed around in a minute. My name is Lupito Flores. I'm from Spokane, Washington, and KYRS, low-powered FM. We were one of the barn raisings back in 2003. This is a nearly all-volunteer-run, non-commercial, non-profit community station. We have more than 40 locally produced programs. We're the only station that has locally produced African-American programs, Native American programs, youth programs, women's issues programs, GLBT show, the Persian Hour, Russian language programming, all run by volunteers. And we're the only city or the only station in Spokane to air Democracy Now! We're one of the biggest cities in the country to get one of these low-powered FM stations, and it seems like right from the start we've been under a constant threat of being knocked off the air. Congress, the FCC, and the big corporate broadcasters don't want low-powered FM to thrive. We were set up as a secondary service, secondary to the commercial broadcasters, which have primary status. And what it boils down to is anytime a commercial broadcaster wants to move into a community where there's a low-powered FM station, the LPFM has to either move to a different frequency, move out of the area, or just cease operation. And we're one of many stations around the country, maybe about 60 or more low-powered FM stations that are threatened with this encroachment. And that's our biggest challenge right now. There is a big commercial classic rock station from out of state that's moving closer to Spokane with 56,000 watts. And when they do, they're going to knock our 100-watt station off the air. So here we are, a little station trying to serve our community with a vital community resource, and we can't because a commercial station from out of state has the right to come in and knock us off the air, and that's the way Low-Powered FM was set up. Our best option for survival is to get the FCC to let us move to a second adjacent frequency, which has never been granted before for a low-powered FM station. And we have Senator Cantwell's office, our great engineer Michael Brown, Brown Broadcast Services, and some broadcast attorneys working hard for us on this. But if we're denied, it's going to cost about $30,000 to move all of the transmitters, the antennas, from two sites 10 miles farther out of town to get out of the way of the big commercial station. So what I hope all you can do for us tonight or soon is contact Senator Cantwell and thank her for sticking up for low-powered FM and for trying to help KYRS. And we also need your financial support. You can listen to KYRS and donate online at kyrs.org. And lastly, please contact all your senators and representatives and urge them to strengthen and expand low-powered FM and to allow second and third adjacent low-powered FM stations. And there's more information at our website, kyrs.org, and also back in the lobby. Thanks very much.
And so that was Lupito Flores speaking at the keynote to the Northwest Community Radio Summit on September 17th in Seattle, Washington. There's more audio from the summit, including stuff from sessions, including stuff from Amy Goodman and her brother David Goodman's talk there. Go to reclaimthemedia.org, which is a good website for you to visit anyway for lots of good news about our media environment and independent and grassroots media. You are listening to Media Geek. I'm your host, Paul Reismandel. And you can check us out online. It's really not us anymore. It's really just me. You can check out me online, though it's really not a MySpace page either. Sorry, you'll find no cute pictures of me. I'm sure you're crying. At MediaGeek.net. It's really home to the Media Geek blog, where I try to post regularly about media issues, especially ones pertaining to grassroots and independent media. Although I will warn you that there's going to be basically a hiatus on the Media Geek blog from October 1st through October 16th, while I both go on vacation out of the country and also then have to go do some work out of town. It's a good 1-2 punch. So the Media Geek will be on hiatus from October 1st through 16th, although the show will still be here, both on the FM airwaves and on the internet. So do not despair if you were going to. And of course, you can get the show at radio.mediageek.net. One thing I want to do is sort of catch people up a little bit about what's going on in Mexico, especially down in the state of Oaxaca. Two shows ago, I talked to two folks down in Oaxaca, two Americans down in Oaxaca, about the situation there. I spoke to Nancy Davies and George Salzman. And basically, there's a popular uprising there. It was spurred on by a police attack on striking teachers back in May and by the disputed, very disputed national election, which happened in July. It's still going on. While you may not be hearing about it in the mainstream American news or many other news reports, the teachers are still striking, and a union has agreed to continue its struggle, quote, in a massive and united fashion until the fall of the tyrant Ulises Ruiz Ortiz is achieved, and only then begin the school year, end quote. Ortiz is the governor of the state of Oaxaca. He is part of the PRI, which is the former ruling party in Mexico, but largely disliked by working people in the state of Oaxaca. There's still the People's Revolutionary Organization, the APPO, and attacks are still going on against the teachers and the APPO by the police. and by other organizations and unions affiliated with the PRI, though they still have a radio station, Radio APPO, on AM 1120 AM. And sort of coincident with that, but part of the overall mood in Mexico from really the ground, from the people there, the Zapatista Army of National Liberation is prepared to descend from the mountains of the Mexican Southwest, accompanied by Subcomandante Marcos, to head up another hill to Mexico City and the nearby town of Atenco, where they will set up base and intensify the campaign to free the political prisoners detained there last May, and then Delegate Zero will trek toward the U.S. border, restarting the other campaign tour to listen to the stories of struggle by simple and humble people who fight. And I'm reading that from Narconews.com, an article which is featured there on the front page. Countdown Zapatista Comandante's departure to Atenco and Mexico City to begin this week, posted by Al Giordano, the founder and journalist of Narco News, and they're hoping to cover that and looking for volunteers, if that's the sort of thing you're interested in. So there's definitely a very different mood with this disputed election in Mexico in 2006 than there was in the United States in 2000 or 2004. Media is a huge part of these uprisings, of these people's movements. Has always been a crucial part of the Zapatistas movement, and the teachers, really drawing from the Zapatistas example, have also been using media within Mexico and to some extent trying to broadcast this information outside of Mexico into the U.S., into the greater world at large. Really a great place to go for this news is Narconews.com. Which has been really covering the drug war and its effects. And then in the larger picture is, of course, true democracy in Latin America. That's Narconews.com. And I'm going to try and pick up more of this story here on Media Geek, both on the website and here on the radio show as I can. There will be kind of a two-week break because I will not be doing the show live. They will be pre-recorded. One will be pre-recorded. One will be substituted for me by my friend John Anderson of Media Minutes and DIYmedia.net. But I hope to pick that up a bit more once I'm back and doing the show, which after October 16th and back and live. Which brings me to something I want to mention briefly. You notice that there's really no news about media policy on today's program. And that's for two reasons. One, I wasn't really sure what I wanted to cover. And two, I got an email from a listener just the other day. And I'd like to read a little bit of it here. I hope he doesn't mind. It's Adam from Toronto, Ontario. He writes, "You asked recently on your podcast for what we like and don't like. And I thought I'd take you at your word." And it says, "The good news, I really like your show as a rule. Thank you very much." He says, "The bad news, I almost unsubscribed from the podcast a month or so ago. The internecine debates on American House and Senate policy and the FCC stalemates and incompetence just got a little too much. First, he lives in Canada, and while these things affect him, they don't affect him as much. And second," Adam says, "well, it's detailed stuff. I have mixed feelings about detailed radio. I hate the narrative focus of much commercial news. The homeless guy is social metaphor school of journalism, but there are always limits to the non-narrative form as well. Heck, maybe it's just me." And you know, Adam, it isn't just you. And I did write him back, but I wanted to address this on air because I myself have very mixed feelings about all the focus on policy. I do think it's important. Policy is where the infrastructure we rely upon for our media, I mean, it's regulated. It is enabled and disabled. And so I do think it's important for us to pay attention to this and to know the spaces where we have some amount of unfortunately limited control as average people and citizens, and to know what our elected representatives are doing and the regulators that they appoint are doing. There are opportunities for public input in some of these processes, whether it is talking directly to our congresspeople and letting them know how we would like them to vote and possibly being able to punish them somewhat by not reelecting them, and by commenting directly to agencies like the Federal Communications Commission, which does take public comment, whether they pay attention to it or not. You know, the problem with policy, of course, is that average people are very disempowered in the process. That by and large, the process is captured by the interests of capital, by the very corporations, the very sectors that policymakers are there to regulate. So that is the problem there. And so I'm going to continue to cover these things because I think it's important to know. And yet, I don't necessarily want to do it as much maybe as I do. I'll be frank, it's easy for me to cover policy because I do pay a lot of attention to it. I do study it all the time and have been studying it a very long time. And so that's why, I mean, I do want to also spend a lot of time on this program, talking to people who are out there trying to make media, trying to make change through media themselves, not necessarily having to rely upon the passage of a particular bill, the passage of a regulation, and elements like that. And this is kind of a one-man show. I mean, I really do this myself. And frankly, sometimes I run out of steam. I run out of creativity. I miss things. And sometimes I just don't know what to cover on a given week. And I will fall back on the policy angle, even though there are constantly more and more people doing interesting things, whether it happens to be on the internet or whether it's in radio or television or finding some other new arena, some other new way to communicate with media. A lot of times I just don't always know what to do. I'll be honest. And that's kind of where you, the audience, come in. I really appreciate that Adam took a moment to send me an email and took me sincerely every show when I say I'd like to hear from you and to tell me your comments. I really would. It's actually very helpful to hear not just the good stuff, but to hear the critique, to hear what would make the show better, what you'd like to hear more of, what you'd like to hear less of. What would make this a better show? You are listening at this moment, so I presume that's because you find something valuable in it. I'd like to tell you that I will pay attention. I do care about what you would like to hear more of or less of on the show. And so please, I ask you to send me along your comments, paul@mediageek.net, especially if there's something you know that's going on. Someone who's making some very interesting media, some great art, some great political communication, or some groups, or some trend, or some new technology that you think is very interesting and important. I'd love to hear about it. I'd love to do it, cover it on a show. Or if you're doing something, let me know. And I'd love to have you on the show. I mean, I really like to talk to not just the policymakers and the stars of alternative media or the stars of the political left. I like to talk to folks who just decided to go do something. So I think those are the most inspiring stories to me. And it's hard to find. And if you will help me do it, I'd greatly appreciate it. So just send me an email, paul@mediageek.net, and I'd be glad to hear from you. That brings to a close another edition of Media Geek. I'm your host and producer, Paul Riesmandel, and I'll be back in 1 week with more news about grassroots and independent media, as well as our media environment. In the meantime, check out Media Geek online at mediageek.net, where you'll find the Media Geek blog with frequently updated news and views about our media. You can also download the program at radio.mediageek.net or subscribe to the podcast to have it automatically downloaded to your computer or MP3 player. That's all at mediageek.net. The closing music is Fire in the Sky by Adam Lowe. Media Geek is produced live at Community Radio WEFT in Champaign, Illinois. Some segments are pre-recorded at Media Geek Studios. And Media Geek is heard on 9 other community stations around North America, including KRFP in Moscow, Idaho, KQRP in Salida, California, KRBS in Oroville, California, WSLR in Sarasota, Florida, WTND in Macomb, Illinois, WRFA in Jamestown, New York, WYQZ in Warrenton, Bealeton, Virginia, CKDU in Halifax, Nova Scotia, and Free Radio Olympia in Olympia, Washington. Media Geek is free to air on your local community radio station, too. Just drop me a line at paul@mediageek.org. That email address is also good for any comments you want to send in about the program. Once again, that's paul@mediageek.org. Thanks for tuning in.